Podcast, time for a podcast, time for the Metafilm Podcast. Josh Millard and Jessamyn West talk with somebody about the best of the web. The best of the web.
Hey, welcome to episode 134 of Best of the Web, the Metafilter monthly podcast. I am Josh Millard, a.k.a. Cortex.
And I'm Jessamyn.
And we're recording this in the morning on November the 1st.
On the first day. We so rarely hit it.
Yeah.
On,
no,
the day.
I feel like our accuracy has been a little bit better in the last few months. I think there may have been a whiff in there somewhere just because of scheduling. But in general, I would guess that compared to like this time last year,
we've been
a little bit better. Yeah. Error bars shut down by like a day or two, maybe.
Oh, actually, no. We recorded the September podcast on September 1st, so I'm completely full of it. So,
yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like we've got some steadiness going. Yeah. No, it's November. We just finished up with October, which is the month that comes before November.
Rabbit.
Did I mention it's the morning? I feel like I'm waking up in the process of.
Well, and
to
it's
sound
the
like
end
morning.
Of the. I don't. We've talked about this before, right? But I have real problems with August and October because since October starts with OCT, I feel like it should be the eighth month.
Oh yeah.
And I just until it's over, I never fully get over it. So, fuck off, October. Thank you for being done, you dumb tenth month.
I blame the. I was going to say the Greeks, but I meant the Romans.
I can't even tell the Greeks and the Romans apart. Like, I really need, like, some crib. And I should for trivia, right? Like, that's an important distinction. The
yeah,
Greek gods versus the Roman gods.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're all kind of mushy in my head. Like, there's togas and. Togas? Are they both wearing togas? Is that part of my problem?
They might
Italy?
Be. I think
like,
it was just
Greek
kind of
is a
toga
country
situation.
And, like, Rome. Okay. Was Rome. I mean, Rome's part of Italy or no?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was a whole empire, you know. I think Rome is a figurative center of the Roman Empire, but like, yeah, it was Italy, but it was also like, you know, a ton of Europe and pieces of Africa, and so.
Right. I mean, I'm familiar with like the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, Constantine, that kind of stuff. But I think one of the reasons it's confusing to me is because Greece is still a country.
Yeah.
So you talk about the Greeks, and I kind of know what that means.
Yeah.
The Romans I'm less clear on. And I really should be. I need to read a really interesting book about one of those dudes. Groups.
That seems like a plan.
Yeah. If anybody has really good, like, gripping suggestions. Or, like, you know, a thing to watch. Right? Like, what? Spartacus?
Yeah, no. I think just watch Spartacus and Gladiator and you pretty much got it.
Gladiator? I enjoyed Gladiator. But there's got to be one
a
with a little bit more history. The
300? Yeah, I think 300 is probably going to be a very useful historical reference.
No, I mean, you laugh, but I don't know. What is it?
It's an action film that's pretty goofy based on a fairly gonzo graphic novel by Frank Miller, who...
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a mess.
Say no more. All right.
Yeah,
I think I thought it was a TV series. No,
well, maybe there was. It's unrelated. Like 300 comes from some like actual... like. Bit of the historical story, I guess.
People must love listening to this.
Yeah,
history
buffs. Just this is your late Halloween. We're going to frighten you with our relative ignorance of basic historical matters. how you doing?
Not bad, actually. I had a great Halloween, and and I'm never sure, right, until right before Halloween, if it's going to be. Great, or like you wear the wrong clothes and it's raining, or something, somebody's horrible, there's some huge drama. I had to work before and after trick or treating, so that was maybe gonna be bad, but it was fine. I had a good costume.
Yeah,
what about you guys?
Did
you guys?
Great.
Yeah, well, you know, I always like I have kind of a box of costumes, and every year I figure something out a couple hours beforehand. And I'd forgotten that I had this orange jumpsuit, which, of course, the obvious thing is orange is the new black, but I just... Ugh,
yeah.
Ugh. And so then I had the sloth head that my sister had gotten me for my birthday at Walmart. And so I put together this idea. And Daylight Savings used to be Halloween weekend, but now is the next weekend. And so I invented this crazy backstory about the reason that's true. is because the sloths are in charge of the thing, and they're terrible at their jobs. So nobody cared, right? Children do not care. You explain it to them. And
tell
like,
me more
what?
About the
right.
The
your ingenious backstory character backstory.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and grown-ups enjoyed it. So yeah, that was awesome. Also, people may have missed it, but the first thing I want to mention is if you have a costume or took a picture of another costume. Clav Divs did his annual Halloween thread, but it's a little obscurely sort of – it's a little hard to tell that's what it is.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're looking for, then it just
or that he
like
does this
like,
every year.
Yeah, exactly.
So please come on over and share your Halloween costumes or your kids' Halloween costumes or your neighbor's Halloween costumes with us, please.
Yep.
What about you? How was yours?
It was good. It was pretty chill. I did a little bit of covering for Lobster Mitten at the tail end of her shift so she could get up to Halloween stuff and then carry on through. And
and at the beginning of my fill-in shift. So like thank you for that.
Halloween gap filler. But yeah, no, we put out a couple of skeletal animals on the front porch and got our yearly crop of four knocks on the door, which makes this a relatively big year for Halloween.
I feel like you guys are on a big street. What is
we're
the
not.
Deal?
We're like near a big street that itself is a sort of a little bit of a commercial stretch, so not really good for Halloween trick-or-treating. And then we're like a block off that on a street that's only like three blocks long. So it's a little bit out of the way. It's not like a cul-de-sac exactly, but it's like it's just there are other much more target-rich environments.
It doesn't go anywhere, really.
Yeah. So we get a few like little neighbors who come by, but that's
little
like
neighbors.
We probably saw a dozen kids.
Little neighbors.
Yep, I saw
so I hope you gave them full-size candy bars.
We gave them eyeball toys and
nice
and stuff, and also cheese puffs. So you got to get a little savory in there with a sweet. So I feel like
cheese puffs.
Yeah, like little packets of like individual unwrapped cheese puffs. Yes, we emptied into their bags.
Who knows what you do over there in Portland, Oregon?
Nah, we got a box of like three dozen little miniature bags of cheese puffs, and gave.
That's
most
actually
of them away,
nice. I'm somebody who really enjoys like a good, sweet savory combination. Like I'm always
Yeah, give me that salted caramel.
Having potato chips with my chocolate bars.
Yes. We were talking about eating breakfast this morning, and I had a banana and some peanut butter, and it's like, yeah, that's always good.
Breakfast of champions.
Yep.
I had peanut butter and an English muffin.
All right. Well, you've been listening to the What We Had for Breakfast podcast. Thank you.
Oh,
we'll
for God's
be back
sake,
next
the
week.
Worst. You and I collectively the worst.
You want to talk about Metafilter? Should we talk about
Metafilter? I was trying to find Boncliffe's tweet where he talks about he gave out full-size candy bars because he lives on like kind of a little cul-de-sac.
Okay.
They only get six trick-or-treaters. But he put it in a trick-or-treating bowl with a couple like cans of tuna just because he's got a sense of humor. And I don't know why it just made me laugh stupid. Like, why is that so funny? I have no idea.
That's pretty great. I hope one of the kids took the tuna.
Yeah, I did too. I'll be tracking it down while we're teeing up the next thing.
I don't interact with like raw children that often, and there was like every time trick or treating happens, I'm faced with the like complete lack of filter the occasional kid will have. Like one kid, I'm holding a bowl that has these eyeball toys and cheese puffs in them. And I'm handing them out to people, and this kid, his eyes go straight to the bowl, and he's just, like, searching through it. And I go to hand him an eyeball toy and a thing, and he's like, I don't know if he actually physically pushed my hand away, but there was very much a sense of, like, no, look, you don't understand what's going on right now. I'm going to examine your bowl. And just reaches in. I'm like, hey, here's the thing. He's like, just keeps going for it, and pause for
right.
stuff.
Right, don't give me the bad thing. I would prefer the good thing.
And on analysis,
listen,
ends up coming
man.
Away with exactly what I was trying to hold him. And I'm like, kids. But, yes.
Well, and I don't know if you saw the thing that I put up. Like, kids are, like, looking at my costume and, what are you? And somebody was like, she's a sloth. Or, it's a sloth. And kids like, that's no sloth. Him have people hands. What? Okay.
Well, they do have the distinctive claws, so, I mean, hey,
they do have distinctive claws, and I wasn't doing anything, right? I wasn't wearing little mittens, nothing.
Yeah.
Just fuck off.
You should get some, like, knife hands next year and be like Slothy Krueger.
See, that's
like
a really,
really
good idea.
Really slowly chasing kids.
My sister's idea was like the sloth character from the Goonies, the guy with the weird funny head, and you wear a Superman t-shirt and suspenders.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I literally couldn't get it together to get a Superman shirt.
Yeah. That would have been like a good like pair costume, like as two completely different sloths.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good idea. So, Metafilter?
Metafilter. So, you know, hey, there was some stuff on Jobs. It turns out people are like, I feel like I've nagged Jobs multiple podcasts in a row, and now people are like using it just to spite me, which
is
okay.
I mean, Jobs is a good website. I would like to put in a push for Phil Jobs being.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that since we talked about.
Well,
that,
I know, but now we're going to talk about it. Put a pin in it, and I'm going to come back next month and be like,
and see
maybe
if it's there.
It should be done.
Yeah, maybe it happened.
So that Phil Jobs are like grayed out, but people can still see them. So
yeah.
You can see stuff on Jobs, actually.
Yeah, a little bit more of a sense of an activity about stuff that's gone by. Yeah, no, I like it. I think it's a good idea.
Excuse me.
Gesundheit.
Thanks.
Yes, Mr. Tony 60 is looking for an illustrator for a children's book idea. And in what I can only call a beautiful natural segue, PH into Knitting Socks is looking for an expert Adobe Illustrator tutor.
Ha ha ha.
But.
And.
Yes.
Oh. And Padua Soy is looking for feedback on a library assistant application, which I would hope they had found somebody, but if not, I should probably. Like, I try to not fill jobs that pay money because I figure other people should probably get those jobs,
yeah.
You know? For the most part, unless it's like perfect up my alley, but this might actually be perfect up my alley.
Yeah.
Like looking for someone with experience to read my application. Oh, but in the UK, which is not me. All right.
Ah, well, there we go.
Can't do it.
This is my favorite, I think, just partly because personal connection. Like Janelle is like a neighbor, lives.
Can I just talk to you about my enormous TV problem?
Yes. Yes.
I have some enormous TV problems.
Like, do you have enormous TVs? And it's a problem.
My father's house has three enormous televisions, one of which weighs 100 pounds.
Oh, Jesus.
And I want them gone, but I don't, I mean, unlike Janelle, which I should probably be smart about, I don't want to pay $200 to get it. One's up a flight of stairs, one's down a flight of stairs, and one is just somewhere else. And theoretically, I can bring them to the transfer station if I can get them into a vehicle. Which
yeah.
I personally on my own can't. Wow. So, hey, if you're in Portland,
well, and it may, I don't want to cut her off from some custom in case it fell through, but it may be done as of yesterday. Another neighbor, Mephite, a couple of Mephites were on their way over to attempt to move it on a cargo bike. And if that happens, I will be so pleased. It sounded like it was like,
I want photos if that's the case.
I know, right? It sounded like it was a little bit of an experimental, maybe we can pull this off thing, so I don't know if it happened or not, but it might have, in which case I hope for some follow-up documentation. But yeah, I don't know. Jobs. Go get some jobs. Go do
that
some work.
That segues actually pretty good into projects.
Nice.
Which never happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have, except... Ancient computer.
you're blowing the segue. Oh, man.
No, wait.
Technology's
I am not. Shut up. Hold
okay.
on. I just
okay.
clicked the wrong
okay.
link.
All right.
But VJPDX made a Portland resistance calendar.
Yes.
Which is up on KBOO and updated way too often. So people who are interested in resistance stuff going on in Portland, Oregon, and you probably are. And this is Vicky, VJ, who I actually know. I did not know that was her username on Metafilter. Just does a great thing, is a great person, and made this cool thing. So, if you're interested in resistance stuff in Portland, check this out. It is amazing.
Nice.
Very good. I like it.
There is a cool thing. I have not finished playing with it yet, but I started in on it the other day. Miss Jenny made a
thing. Oh, God. All the stuff she makes is great.
Yeah. Payback with a cent sign for a C, so it's typographically clever
and difficult to type.
Oh, and decent. Where are you? Yeah, it's a It's sort of like college expense simulator. But it's a little bit more engaging than that might sound like. It's not like a sit down and fill out this survey to estimate your needs. It's more of like, okay, let's go through the actual.
Let's pretend you're in college.
Yeah, let's think about the purchases you're going to make on the way to college. Let's think about the college you're going to go to. Let's think about, you know, all these things that sort of end up in there that are the less obvious costs than just literally, oh, hey, tuition. So it's cool. It's fun to play with. It's a nice sort of use of kind of interactive fiction-y, sort of twiny sort of vibe.
Well, and the thread's really interesting, short as it is, because, you know, different people are like, well, let me talk to you about a slightly alternative way I did college, so I didn't have to pay for a car or pay for whatever. And I feel like that's useful. Like, figuring out that there's lots of other ways to live in the world is good. And people were friendly and polite with their stuff. Also, you may not feel comfortable talking about this because Jesse is your friend. Although Jesse is also my friend. But Churl from Metafilter put together a thing called Incredible Doom, which is basically about teenagers. It's a graphic novel about teenagers who spend time on the internet, have terrible families, connect over their technology things. And I've read the first issue, and it's super good, and it got posted to Metafilter. This all happened very early in October.
Yes.
But, like, I dove into this and, like, immediately related, right? Like, your parents are nuts. You've got a connection to the computer. You can talk to other people who may have half an idea of what the hell's going on in your life. It's this complete thready lifeline, and the illustrations are really good, and anybody who was on the internet in the 90s can probably relate to it, and it's great.
Yes, it's super duper good. They have done such a great job, and excited about it going forward. I commented a little bit in the Metafilter post someone ended up making just to say.
Oh, and issue two went up a week or two ago, and I didn't even notice. The best.
Go read more. I've been watching them a little bit working on issue three, and it's pretty exciting.
Oh, that's so
no,
good.
It's really great, and they've been working super hard on this for like months, like a year out something. So yeah, no, it's great. People should go read it because it's really well done. The art is great, the writing's great, but the actual physical side of the comic books they're producing is really cool too. It's a really neat little mini comic that's nicely done, and I lent my Cricut cutter to some special goodies for some of those issues, and yeah, I'm in the promotional.
Every time you talk about your Cricut cutter, I freak out.
Yeah, it's actually currently in Churl's custody right now because they need to do some more of the cutting of the secret bonus thing that they didn't cut enough of because they didn't know they were going to sell as many copies as they did.
Oh.
So it's been going well. They got a nice strong launch on it, and yeah, people should go read it and support it and shit.
Nice. And shout out to Churl for helping me with my terrible computer problem that I asked Metafilter about. It is still not totally resolved, but I am closer to resolving it.
Excellent.
Thank you to you.
I'm giving up on consonants. there's a post Zero Lives.
This was the other one I was going to mention.
Oh, nice. Well, I'll let you talk about it then.
Oh, no, I talked about the last one.
Oh, okay. I'll talk about it then.
You talk.
Wrestling Social. A friend of mine, actually, Zero Lives, is putting together a.
Wait, are these people all your friends?
This one is, I mean, Jesse is,
Miss Jenny,
Zero Lies. I don't think I've met Miss Jenny.
Okay.
Which confidential to Miss Jenny, if you remember being at a meetup with me, it's because I can never remember who I've met. Zero Lives, I actually met via a friend at EXO several years ago. So we become friends through the EXO and friends in that thing. And then I think that led to him getting a Metafilter account. So it's all running around in circles. Anyway, he's big into wrestling. He's done some cool, he may have mentioned a project post previously about a little wrestling video game, like a little 8-bit thing he's been working on. He's trying to start up a sort of wrestling online community because he's really enjoys wrestling, but he wants...
And other people enjoy wrestling and wants to talk to other people about wrestling. Yeah.
In a nice, non-toxic, sort of non-shitty environment. So
And they're looking for mods, if at all possible.
Yeah, if you're into that sort of thing, get on the ground floor on this whole wrestling community thing.
Which I find particularly interesting because my nighttime reading book now is The Rock's autobiography.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so far, it's just really good. I mean, The Rock is kind of like how you think he probably is. And I'd known his father was a wrestler, but what I didn't know was that his grandfather was also a wrestler.
Hmm.
So, like, both sides of his family, like his mom's side of the family and his dad's side of the family are both pro wrestling.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so his background is fascinating. His family history is fascinating. I've just gotten to the point where he's, like, playing football at University of Miami, and it's just... He's got a 0.7 grade point average. but yeah, no, it's really good. And so I've been thinking more about wrestling as kind of a spectacle, kind of.
Nice.
More of a spectacle, less of a sport. And that book is highly recommended. And this community is cool. So, yes.
Yeah, I know Secretariat follows The Rock on Instagram and enjoys his feed. So.
Yeah, well, because he's also, like, happily married. I mean, by all accounts, he's just, like, a decent dude.
He just happens to be incredibly built because of a super disciplined physical regimen.
Yeah, I mean, a combination of sort of genetics and super discipline. You know what I
sure.
mean? Like, he made the most of what he had. He's 6'5", too, which you can't
yeah.
like, weightlift your way into being 6'5".
Yeah, no, I'm sure if I had decided to take up bodybuilding, I could be a relatively swole version of me, but I would not be The Rock.
Right. You'd still be you, though.
I like this thing overlapping Elvis made. I'm so bad at clicking on stuff this morning. I'm having trouble operating a mouse. But
use a touchpad
Elvis.
Like myself. Fuck the
well,
mouse.
I think it's
Fuck
just the
mouse.
Fingers. I should have had that carafe of coffee. I think I just needed more of a jump start than I thought. Stayed up late watching an episode of Stranger Things.
Hey, there was like a couple Stranger Things. Oh, here's a question for you real quick. I'm sorry. But if you're like a little kid in like a... If you're a person in a yellow rain slicker holding a balloon, are you a Stranger Things person?
No. I'm a Stephen King's It thing. I'm.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Jesus, there was like three kids in yellow rain slickers with balloons, and I had no idea what the hell was going
on. Yeah,
no,
they're the younger brothers of one of the main characters of It, said younger brother being murdered by a clown as basically the opening of the story.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was, I think, one or two Stranger Things riffs that I missed entirely. I've heard it's good, though.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I am enjoying it greatly. We're taking our time getting through the second season. It's super good.
Nice.
Anyway, Overlapping Elvis made these 3D modeled hiking pole hinge clasp things just to solve a small problem because their partner uses hiking poles for mobility, but it doesn't need to use both at the same time. So the clip basically makes it possible to carry the one pole with the other pole to keep the other hand free. You know, it's such a tiny little usability sort of quality of life thing, but that's like, hey, we have 3D printers now, so you can say, oh, I wish there were this one little thing that fixed this specific problem that would make my life or my friend's life or my partner's life slightly better. And okay,
right.
We'll just do it. You know?
And special thanks to the Eugene Public Library who had the MakerBot that
yeah.
enabled this to at least partly happen.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, so I think that's just rad all around.
That is rad all around.
Little things.
Nice. I think that's it for me for projects.
Let me see if I have anything else. I don't think I mentioned this previously. I think it just came up in conversation, but Waning Gibbon made a thing called MuckTweet. It's a browser extension for basically keeping track of Twitter abuse reports. So, like, you know, you can go to Twitter and you can make an abuse report on, like, this is a shitty thing that should go away. It's abusive, whatever. And then that just sort of, okay, disappears into the ether.
Well, you get a report back kind of randomly later, I found. Like, if I use the app for my phone, at some point I'll get, like, we made a decision on your thing. But it's always, like, super much later, and you've
yeah.
forgotten what the thing is. And,
yeah.
Ugh, it it's irritating.
So this is basically an attempt to let you have a little bit more sort of active control over keeping track of that, which seems like a good idea.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, there used to be something like this 5 years ago. I feel like Andre made it that would keep track of your abuse reports to see if the account got banned. Like, it would just status, like, check the status of the account you reported to see if it got banned or whatever. This is great.
Nice. Yeah.
And Wayne and Gibbon username makes me laugh. It is a good username.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nice. Hey, you know, I felt like everybody knows this, but maybe people don't know this. I did learn this on Metafilter, but I told a room full of librarians this, and they did not know that if you want to set your Twitter location to Germany, you won't see any Nazis on Twitter anymore.
I heard that. I remember seeing some chatter going by in a thread on Metafilter about it, and I wasn't
I think
totally
it was in one
time.
Of the political threads, actually.
Yeah, I wasn't totally clear on the time whether the consensus was this definitely works or that this only sort of kind of works.
No. It definitely works because Nazis are illegal in Germany. And so there's some kind of flag on white supremacist.
That much I know. I wasn't clear. I guess the chatter I was seeing, I wasn't clear of I feel like someone was saying, okay, here's the thing. You can set your location, but that affects this aspect of their thing. But if they don't really, like, treat you as a German Twitter user, then just setting your location isn't sufficient to get the change to happen. But this is...
Oh, that maybe you have to use a VPN or something
else.
Yeah,
and I'm reporting secondhand readings of other people
secondhand
chatting about
maybes.
Stuff. So, like, you know, don't take any of this. But, yeah, I wasn't totally clear on that. I'd meant to go back and sort of find a little bit more info on it, but... But yes, in any case, an interesting...
Well, and I just don't have a Twitter that's got a bunch of Nazis in it in the first place, so
yeah,
it's never...
Yeah, it hasn't really been an issue for me. Should we discuss the old Metafilter, the blue? The blue's
sure.
Blue?
Sure.
I enjoyed, in just sort of like a dumb absurdist, it was just the right thing in the right moment, I really enjoyed Shaq. Which is a post
by
Stinkfoot.
Okay, can somebody please, I have not clicked a single thing on this because I just saw the post on the sidebar. It just said Shaq. Jim's like, click this. I'm like, what is it? And he's like, Shaq. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I guess I could have like read the thread, but it just, it's like one of those weird little irritants for me. Yeah, and then the first six comments are just fucking Shaq. All the comments.
It's, oh, that's the
God
whole thing. It's
sakes.
It just it,
tell
it's,
me what it is in words.
Okay, what it is Stinkfoot made a post with the text Shaq, Shacked, Shadrach, Shellac. Each is a link to a different thing. The first one is, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, and then it goes on from there. And it's just and I'm if you're listening, Stinkfoot, I'm saying this with the maximum amount of actual genuine affection. It's just a
is this when you
post.
Call it stupid?
Yeah, it's just
okay.
it's like I have made similarly deliberately stupid posts once or twice. Like it's just like I have
right,
an idea.
It's
I'm free associating that this should be on the front page of Metafilter. And honestly, this would have been a real easy delete if I'd been in like that. You know what? Maybe your post should make any sense. Sort of mood. But
right.
I was in the other mood, and I was like, all right. And I just let it up and went and found a. The first weird thing that sort of sounded like Shaq that I could think of and posted
it. So it's
it,
literally
it
just other people coming. Because like somebody was like, it's just things that sound like Shaq. And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't.
That's
what
all
does
it
that
is.
Mean?
It's just total free association bullshit. People finding links to things that have a word sort
a sounding,
of like Shaq in it.
A soundy word. Okay, good. Perfect.
And then the occasional person who just seems to like presumably intentionally... Like not following the super unavoidable aesthetic of the thread in progress. So there's a couple comments that are like, you know, a paragraph of discussion or someone saying, hey, I'm not sure what's going on here. And it's like, well, okay.
But it's almost all exclusively just sound alike goofy.
Yep.
Aww.
Like it makes no sense, but it was actually a genuine bright point in my month. I thought that was... Just a nice, weird little bit of...
Nice. I mean, I saw it go up. I saw you guys sidebar it, and I needed more to go on.
See, and I had been thinking about sidebarring it, but I was like, am I getting over-invested in this goofy thing? And then Lobsterman just independently sidebarred it and did it exactly correctly by just linking the word Shaq. So I was very happy with the whole thing.
Nice. I'm going to, you know, friends link here. And one of my favorite posts this month was actually one that Jim made, because it was like another thing that just kind of brought a tiny bit of joy into my life for no reason whatsoever. But it's basically a band called the Boredoms. They all got together under the Brooklyn Bridge at a park with 77 drummers.
Oh, Jesus.
All set up. You got to click the link and just look at this for like 10 seconds. All playing the same kind of drum beat. And then they basically played a song at July 7th, 2007 at 7:07. And there's a full lineup of drummers. If you're curious if your favorite drummer from Brooklyn in 2007 is there. But it's just kind of the joy of, like, there's really something about a lot of drummers all playing at the same time, and the camera pans, so you see like every drummer for like a couple seconds. And you know, all drummers are kind of in some ways exactly the same and in some ways exactly different. You know, there's like metal drummers, there's lady drummers, there's old drummers, there's young drummers, there's like dressed like a chicken drummers. And I don't know, but the whole thing just makes me super happy.
That's rad. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one of these threads, like 17 favorites, 8 comments. But I watch the whole video, and when I need a little pick-me-up, I watch it again.
Nice. I will have to watch that later.
Drummers. Yes. Title, give the drummer some.
I'm gonna one-up your friends linking by just straight-up self-linking here.
What?
Because I made a post that was a perfectly nice little post. I can't even paste shit.
Shit, I didn't make a post this month. Damn it, Josh, you've bested me again.
Just barely. I saw a thing on like Twitter at some point and put it in a tab, and it sat there for 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, right, that thing. I was going to post that. And I went and made a post for it like last week at some point. And it's just a bunch of animations, short animations, looping animations based on old video games. So, you know, Super Mario Brothers and Zelda and Pitfall.
How is Super Mario Brothers an old video game?
Well, the old ones are old. Like, Super Mario Brothers itself, the actual Nintendo title, is like 30 years old now. 30-something. Yeah.
God.
The new Mario's out, but I haven't played it yet, but it sounds like it's really good.
God.
Anyway, I made this post because I liked it, and they're fun animations, and I was like, yeah, I should share these. And so I did exactly that, and I got 2 comments with 4 words between them, if you count an emoticon, if as a word. And this is okay. Like, I'm not complaining.
Sure.
It's always striking when it happens. Like, and there's like, what do you say? Oh, that sure is Mario. You know, it's like, you know,
I think a lot of times people say is they're like, oh, I remember when I used to whatever.
Yeah.
What people sometimes say.
Yeah. And I don't think this is like as obvious a hook for sort of storytelling about that stuff as some like more contexty video game post are. So. But I like that stuff, and I'm just going to signal boost it like I own the place.
Good.
I think that's literally the first time I've made that joke.
I hope it's the last, actually.
What else you got?
Hold on just a second. I had clicked a thing, and then I had gotten distracted by my clicking of the thing. I didn't spend as much time in Metafilter this time. Oh, I remember the one thing. I don't know where I put the... Hold on. Oh, this is just a thread from yesterday, but for whatever reason, like, there had been people kind of a little, like, grumba in it, and so I had checked it out originally when I was filling in as a mod, but then I actually went and read the whole article, and then I actually really enjoyed it. It was Boncliffe's post about Mark Frauenfelder, who's probably an old-school Mephite, but I don't really know, you know, Boing Boing guy, who basically talked about... He bought some bitcoins, but then he protected them behind a passphrase or password, which he then inexplicably put on a post-it and put under his daughter's pillow because he was getting on an airplane. And then the cleaning lady threw it away. But then he had like a special dongle that you had to type the password into. And the special dongle had special nerd protection so that every time you guessed your password wrong, it would increase the amount of time between guesses.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I mean? Which is perfect, right? The whole thing is perfect. But so it starts out like just kind of this white male anxiety story, right? Like the guy's super nerdy, so he spends $3,000 on Bitcoin. Then he's super nerdy, so he has a really hard password. Then he's even super nerdier, so when he gets on a fucking airplane, he has to leave a note for his daughter to get in touch with Cory Doctorow in case something happens to get his $3,000, which is probably now $30,000, which, like, I can understand that that's important, but, like, if you're somebody who writes for Boing Boing, like, it's not a life-changing amount of, you know, it's not $6 million. So you put a Post-it for your daughter, but you don't fucking tell her it's there. And then when the Post-it is lost, you have to go through this. And so up till that point, I was like, I hate this guy, even though I like the guy, like in real life.
Yeah.
But then it turns into an amazing redemption story of him figuring out how to hack the dongle that is plugged in that he needs to enter his passcode into by paying some, like, internet dude $3,000, which is the amount of his initial investment, to hack the thing through bullshit, and then, long story short, gets his money back. And so there's a whole bunch of interesting aspects to it. It's nerd bait, basically. And the thread was fun. Super fun thread, 100-ish comments. I enjoyed the entire thing start to finish. It's kind of like a nice classic Metafilter post that just made me happy.
Nice.
Yeah.
I saw passing references to that, but I hadn't caught up on the story, so that is a useful summary for me. So,
well, I mean, and that's basically all you need to know. You can go read about it, but you can now dive into the thread and just start commenting, you know, well, in my opinion, because it does come down to a whole bunch of questions about passwords, right? Like, I'm one of those people who has a safe deposit box, right? So I share it with my sister. Inside the safe deposit box is passwords, and that's fine as far as I'm concerned, right? That's safe enough. But if you're not a safe deposit box person, what's the best way?
Yeah.
To have a password that's hard enough, but not too hard. And so there's some lively discussion, but for whatever reason, it doesn't degenerate into, you know, pissing matches about how everyone else is an idiot and your method is the best. And
yeah.
And so it was a fun discussion, not a jerky discussion.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, there were a bunch of little things I liked. Well, here's an easy one, just fun thing to look at. I probably on a previous podcast talked about other posts on the same topic, but sorting visualizations. This is a post that Guyan made of just a collection of visualizations of various kinds of algorithmic sorting. If you have an unordered list of something and you need to put in order, there's a bunch of different ways you can implement the process.
I feel like we talk about this roughly every 2 years.
Probably. I think so. Like, it's
say bubble sort.
Bubble sort.
See?
There we go.
Lovely.
Anyway, it's nice. It's real simple. It's just some cool visualizations. So, you know, go look at that if you feel like seeing stuff sorted.
Oh, bubble sort is first. I didn't even know bubble sort was first.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, bubble sort's super easy is the thing. Like, it's not fast. It's not efficient. It's not a good choice for anything that requires serious.
I mean, I don't know what any of this shit is. I understand it conceptually, but I don't have an actual understanding of it. I feel sometimes like I would like to go to programmer school.
There are, you know, like programming, like short stint programs out there. If you wanted to, like, just get some basics on one or another thing, you know,
it just doesn't hook into anything in my life.
Yeah, that's the
so I would
thing,
love
I
to, but then I would need to have a project I needed to do with it, and my life is not so complicated that there's anything I need complex algorithms to solve that can't just be pieces of paper on the floor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most programming isn't even going to use complex algorithms very much anyway. So
I think of bubble sort as a complex algorithm. I know it's not.
But bubble sort's great. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about it is it's so simple. Like, it's like you literally, like, take, you know, 10 random numbered balls and set them down in a row, and you start on the left and look at the first two and say, hey, is the one on the left smaller than the one on the right? Okay. Otherwise, swap them. And then you just go
down
the line.
Sure. I guess what I mean is, like, I do that with pieces of paper, so it kind of doesn't matter what the algo is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I love it.
Someone actually brings up, I think in the thread discussion there, radix sort as one way of sorting that corresponds roughly to maybe how you would sort card catalog cards if they were out of order to sort of.
I mean, I think bubble
piles.
Sorting is how you sort card catalog cards if they're out of order, right?
Probably probably starting with radix and then
radish
moving
sorting?
On to radix. Radix, or it might be radix, I don't know, but R-A-D-I-X. It's basically you start, if you've got a bunch of three-digit numbers, say, like, you know, like the major numbers on a
I know
decimal.
What numbers are.
Yeah. I'm trying to talk it through for the listener. I trust you.
The listeners know what numbers are.
I know, is it like a Dewey Decimal number. Okay, so three digits. You've got a big pile of cards. Like, if you had 1,000 cards that you needed sorted, you wouldn't start by looking at two of them and saying, well, which one comes before the other, and then just doing that 1,000 times. Cause
I actually would, but go on.
Because it'd be fit. Like, potentially, you might not do that just because, like, manipulating 1,000 cards at a time is annoying. So instead, maybe you say, okay, what's the first digit of each of these cards, and you make 10 piles. You know, the ones that start with one, ones that start with two, so on. And then you take each of those piles and maybe you're like, well, this is still pretty cumbersome. And so you split each of those into 10 piles based on the second digit. So then you have the 1-1s and the 1-2s.
Sure.
The
it's like alphabetizing basically.
Yeah. And then at that point, maybe you have a handful. It's like, oh, let's literally bubble sort this thing. Let's just sort these six cards. And those are in order, but that's much easier to do with six cards than it would be with like literally 1,000 cards where you have to shuffle back and forth the whole fucking time. So that's, I think that's basically.
But if they're all in a drawer.
Well, I'm not questioning your ability to do this.
I'm just. I mean, this is what's so interesting to me, right? Is I don't have much of a sense.
Yeah. I would say probably part of the difference is like if you have a slightly out of order list, then just going through and like handling the little
checking
bits here and there, you can sort of do it. However, and it would be dumb to do something like a radix sort for that. Like you don't want to sort 1,000 cards if only five actually need moving.
Well, and the thing that's the best about the radix sort, right? If we're actually talking processors, is that parts of the job can be done by different people.
Yes.
Or
yes.
CPUs or whatever. Whereas bubble sort, everything has to go through one.
Yeah. So you can parallelize
because it's all
the whole
checking.
Process.
See, bubble sort is like it's like blockchain. Like, everything has to go through, like, one central nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody in Boncliffe's thread started blaming the blockchain for all this shit.
I think it's just, like, it's an easy target at this point. Like, we've all blamed the blockchain. We've got to step up our game. I really liked this post, a recent recording of Take On Me by AHA, like, you know, 30 years later or whatever.
Wasn't this last month?
Was it? No, this was October.
Huh. I feel like I saw... No, I guess... Was there another AHA thing last month?
I don't know. Maybe.
I feel like I've seen AHA a lot lately.
Maybe there was some reanimation thing going on. Maybe that was in there somewhere.
Sorry, I didn't mean to detract from your...
No. All I'm saying is like they did a nice version. They're like 30 years older, but they made a nice version of their song. It's actually very, like, very totally different. Like, they really super bring it down, and it actually works.
Do you feel like we've been denied getting new bands because the old bands refuse to stop being the bands?
Nah, I think there's a lot of
Do
new
you
bands
feel
out
weird
there.
That the Rolling Stones have been around our whole lives?
Yeah, kind of. It's
and
strange.
The Who?
But I mean,
and you too, practically.
There's lots of new music anyway. Like whatever. That's like true. I mean, email keeps sticking around, but we still get like you know.
Oh God,
Slack
I love
and
email.
Mastodon. So you know,
this is the first year though that I've really felt like my love of email may not be normative anymore. Like, I'm on projects with different people, and my insistence on email seems a little quaint and outdated instead of a completely normal way to keep track of conversations and projects.
Yeah.
But That is partly because they refuse to use Slack, so fuck them. If they're not going to use Slack, I'm going to use email. But they try to send like a bunch of Facebook Messenger messages Twitter DMs, and I'm like, I'm not working that way. And I've just turned into this robot where I'm like, please send this over email if you want me to do anything about anything.
Yeah. I have a few friends who are like Twitter DM people, and that's fine because I don't really use Twitter DMs at all, so I'm always kind of a little slow on the uptake when that happens. Like, I'll get a notification, and I won't know what it is, and
Twitter DMs at least come to my email. So for me, it's basically like send it to my fucking email. At least I have some indicator. But like Facebook messages, that's just some crazy, you know. But a lot of people send me work stuff there because librarians use Facebook all the time for whatever reason.
See, I never really got into that particular bit of the – like I use Facebook in a very limited sense, but I've never gotten involved in like the app and Messenger and so on.
I don't do much, but I'm available there, and so it's kind of the easiest way to get in touch with me that feels – I think low friction for people. Like I think sometimes people feel like emailing me might be too heavy. Whereas I'm just like, no, or they feel like many of the other people I work with, email is just I had a contract that was like supposed to be signed and dealt with on the 15th of October. And by the 17th of October, I'm like, I'm not really going to start work until I get a contract. And I got this kind of like, oh, yeah, it was lost in the email maelstrom. And I'm like, how are you a boss? Like, a contract comes into your email, you're not even on top of your email enough that you can, like, track a contract? That's embarrassing. But maybe that's normative now? You know what I mean? Like, just nothing means anything anymore? I don't know. It was interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because he felt like that was, as a boss, an actual reasonable response.
Yeah.
Like, I just fucking lost it. No, like, that's his response, not my response. I didn't fucking lose it. I'm a professional. But, like, it was just so weird. And everybody else was like, yeah. Although this is the other boss who actually gets high on our video chats. Like, I just watch him, like, smoke up and I can't get – like, I'm from New England. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, legally high for his – where he is. But it's weird.
Just
so
throws you.
So I feel like an old lady is what I'm saying.
All right. You know.
And another post that I really liked, Mandolin Conspiracy. I met Mandolin Conspiracy earlier this year in Toronto, and he's a lovely man. He's got a lovely husband. They are great. But there's something about like all of his posts just like poke secret buttons with me where I'm like, this post is great. Like every time. I don't know what it is. He won one of my contests when we did contest month. And so he did this post on the body broker industry, which is basically you donate your body, what happens to your body?
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun and gross and interesting. And people were a little like, grr. And so again, it's another one of these posts that I jumped into as kind of a mod. And then, decided I really loved the thread too. Like, I believe I actually made a post that was like, I haven't read any of this yet, but which normally is against the rules. And then it became kind of a weird thing because Slardy Bardfest, who's a wonderful person but sometimes acts out on Metafilter, made a post or a comment basically kind of implying that if you're in an ER at death's door, people care about your donation status, yes or no? Because he's an ER doctor.
Sure.
And that's, of course, not true. But people freaked out anyhow.
Yeah.
And it needed to be dealt with. So, interesting thread. Lively. Very lively.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Nice.
And Mandolin Conspiracy did a great job.
Yeah, I totally missed that one. So, that's cool.
So good. So good.
I dug, just as a little art thing, this post by Chavanet. What do we think? How is this?
Shavnet?
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 Have we clicked through?
There's no help. So
there's a picture of Pogo.
Chavinet posted a hilarious kinetic eye sculptures by a guy named Lucas Zanotto. And they're just exactly that. There's some very cool...
They're kinetic eyes?
They are kinetic sculptures that... suggest googly eyes in their construction via a whole variety of means. It's just, it's a cool thing to watch.
If this is a link that's on This Is Colossal, why does it also have a via link to This Is Colossal?
I don't know.
That's weird.
People have different... well, I mean, it's I guess via is to the main page and the link is to the individual thing. So.
But I mean, it's clear that it's on...
I think I agree with you. I feel like that's an unnecessarily level of needed attribution, but at the same time, it's sort of like a harmlessly pedantic level rather than...
Right, unless they do it every single time, in which case it's against the rules.
Yeah, at that point, but yes. But not a concern in this case, I don't think.
I don't think so.
It's a nice thing to look at.
I like it. They look like googly eyes. And along the same line of like... Well, I don't know if it's along the same line or not, but I love this.
Schrodinger's segue.
Is it this post by Blue Beetle about, it's just basically a single link to a really nice long article you can read about why ending stuff in the word Tron sounded futuristic.
Huh.
Like, what made that happen? Where did it come from? What were things that had that name? It's a really long, very interesting article about it. But then the thread itself is a whole bunch of people talking about stuff that ended in Tron. And I went to Forever Tron, this awesome scrap metal sculpture place in Baraboo, Wisconsin. So I had my own little connection.
Nice.
To this particular topic, and it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, people talking about Metafiltron, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, in a similarly thoughtful and highfalutin tone, I liked this post about whether or not Jim Davis made a Garfield strip in which John accidentally drank dog semen, which has been internet thing for a while now.
And
I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. That's just the whole thing. It sort of seems like maybe John Arbuckle drank a cup of...
Well, that was the implication from the cartoon.
Yeah. And in theory, Jim Davis says, no, people are just getting it wrong. It's actually intended to be a high-protein supplement that aids in healthy development of litters in pregnant dogs, which... On the one hand, what the hell? I believe Jim Davis meant that. But on the other hand, dude, do you not read your own fucking comic strip? Anyway, the reason I like the post, the reason that it is a post is not that that happened back in 1990, but that it's been a whole sort of like thing on the internet. And so for a bit of weird, goofy, what is going on the web right now stuff, I really enjoyed the whole phenomenon. I'm glad I got a post.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's the sleep is where I'm a Viking kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like enjoyable, it's not, nerdy.
Yeah, exactly.
And my sister got to buy dog semen over the internet during the same week this was happening.
Oh, really?
Her job.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember you right. You was like, hey, this is the second time today that dog semen's come up.
Yeah, because whatever. She works for a crime lab, and sometimes when they find, you know, random stains at a crime scene, they have to compare it against stuff. And so it was like a funny joke that back in the bad old days of the crime lab before she got there, if they needed human comparison samples, there was literally this guy named Bob who would like go off to the bathroom with a magazine. And eventually they were just like, we cannot do this anymore. So you have to buy it through the internet. And there's a whole bunch of places that you do this, like crime labs do this. But so she had kind of gotten used to that, which was a joke in and of itself. And they had a tool called the Ultra Sperm Finder, which specifically looked for, you know, various kinds of semen. And it didn't work. So she had to argue with the people who make the thing that it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, which is, of course, fun in and of itself. And then culminating in this dog semen purchase the same week everybody on the internet was arguing about Garfield.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I wish she had a blog or anything other than stories she tells me that I leak out over over podcasts and other person-to-person places.
From the first moment I made ya, I thought we'd live without fear. And you have walked on the water all these years.
I also enjoyed a great deal this idle game thing the cop posted that I want to like say up front.
For Christ's sake, I cannot get anywhere with this.
It is not an endless one, at least. Like, you can, in theory, play through it in, like, you know, a day or so. It's called Universal Paperclips. Post is by Juvenile. And I like it. I like it a lot. It's good. I thought you said something. Yes, it's good. I like it a lot. I think it's very cleverly made. It's nicely experimental. It wanders through a bunch of different sort of play modes, which is why I think people get stuck on it, because it doesn't like just thrust you forward constantly. There's actually like multiple acts to the game, and every time sort of the act changes, the rules and things you need to do change as well. So I think it was a lot of fun. I think it was a very nice entry. It's one of the strong entries in the sort of cookie clicker pantheon. Pantheon? That's not right. You know, the ancestry, descendants, descendistry. I don't
legacy.
Talking now. Sure. Yeah. Legacy. Let's go with legacy. Yes.
I have to say, the day I finally quit cookie clickers was a pretty happy day in the history of me.
I mean, did you blow out all of your cookies for the site? Because if not, you haven't quit. You're just idling.
My computer dropped dead, Josh, so I'm pretty sure I have no access to this.
But yeah, okay. If you got at that hard drive, it might still exist out there.
Seriously?
Plus, there's like cloud save stuff, so you could...
I didn't save anything to the goddamn cloud.
Well, I think it sort of automatically does it. Anyway... I you should stay away for the rest of your life. I'm just saying, it might be like you might be in more of a like lapsed Catholic territory here than, you know, someone who's like, well,
don't even lapsed Catholic with me. That doesn't even mean anything to me.
I'm totally. I mean, I'm a thoroughly atheist at this point. But as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, I still
it's
got
like
some
the Mormons.
Of them Catholic
you can always,
bones.
You can always come back, right?
Yeah, you know.
Well, I mean, do you feel this? I don't know if this is a thing that just is an age-related function, but, like, it used to be I would be a lot more like, oh, yeah, some, like, cold winter when I don't have shit to do, I'll sit down again and really commit myself to the thing. And really over the last maybe year, I've been like, realistically, that's not going to happen. Or it might happen with the one thing, but it's definitely not going to happen with the it's going to take a week and, you know, refinishing furniture or shit that, like,
yeah.
I technically know how to do, but realistically is never going to percolate to the top of all the fun things I have to do. And I would enjoy refinishing furniture, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no,
like,
absolutely.
Even the things I want to do but require a block of time free in the future, I'm starting to get a lot more mercenary about just cutting those things off my list. Like, I've started to get rid of my old technology instead of just keeping it around in case I need an iPhone 1 for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, I put my iPhone 1 in my Twitter, you know, this is my costume, as a way of indicating I'm very bad at my job that I still use an iPhone 1.
Yeah.
But I think I'm ready to just get rid now instead of just keeping it around. Oh, one of these days I'm going to run them all at once and I don't know. I don't know what I think I'm going to do.
I think, yeah, no, I definitely hear you there. And I feel like I've gotten more pragmatic and realistic about some of like the dangling, oh yeah, but at some point I'm going to like, I still have a lot of ways to go there. I think there's a lot of stuff that is occupying exactly that space for me. But,
well, and you have projects you actually do. So it's not like you're like stuck at some soulless job and you never get to projects. And
yeah,
you're like,
yeah,
one of these
like
days I'll
actually,
take 2 weeks off and
yeah, it's more like
paint
LARP
the house
Trek.
Rainbow
I'm
colors.
Probably never getting back to LARP Trek. I really liked making LARP Trek until I stopped like making it. And I really enjoyed that people liked it so much. I was like proud of it.
Sure.
It's this, like, ongoing project, but like it's been several years now. And like, I've thought about it.
Dude,
like,
I think that's growth. I mean, yeah. I didn't do this all as a setup to be like, what the fuck about LARP Trek, Josh? But because I mean, I liked it, but I don't miss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, yeah, there are some projects like that where I'm like, I'm probably not actually going to.
Yeah.
And I think it frees up potential future space
to
dream about other things, because you're not like, well, if I have free time, I got to fucking LARP fucking Trek shit.
Yeah, like you don't even need to like burn those things to the ground or anything. You just need to free yourself up from like using sort of headspace and creative energy and emotional energy, maintaining the fiction that you're going to get back to it any day now, and instead accept it. Like, you know what? I might never get back to that. That's all right. Let me use these resources
with the discomfort. That's how we often say it in sort of meditation land.
Yeah.
As opposed to shit that really does need to get done, dishes, vacuuming, whatever.
Exactly.
I think that's pretty much it for me for Metafilter proper. I enjoyed it, but I think those were all of my picks.
I'll mention a couple other things real quick. One is a post by Fizz about a collection of articles on the subject of sort of video games having difficulty levels or the ability to skip a boss fight or in general, yeah, different ways to alter the experience to make it more accessible for people who aren't there for this or that part of it, you know. Being able to enjoy a game even if it's got hard bits by just not dealing with those hard bits, which is a big complicated design question, and the roundup of articles is pretty good, and the discussion's pretty good too. Like, it's occasionally slightly bumpy, but mostly in a people having strong feelings about conflicting aspects of it thing.
Sure.
It didn't like turn into a fight or anything. But yeah, it's an interesting read, and it's a good discussion because it pulls in multiple facets of where people are coming from in their sort of history of video gaming and
what's a game for.
Yeah, what's the nature?
And also, you know, some people create and some people play, and some people do both.
Yeah. So I
hate boss fights personally. I find them just exhausting and stupid for the most part. You know what I mean? Like, I like little challenges, but boss fights to me are just...
They're often not very interesting. And, like, you know, sometimes they are, and a good boss fight in a game, I think, will, you know, ideally what it will do is take the things that you have enjoyed learning to do in the game and synthesize them in a reasonable way into a sort of, okay, here's your, you know, midterm for all the fun you've been having, and it manages to make that fun. Maybe it's a little bit challenging, but they pace a challenge right so that you, like, you get to feel a little bit clever. You get to realize, oh, these two things that I was doing separately go together now, and that can be good. Like, you know, and there's boss fights that do that just fine, but there's also like lots of lousy boss fights that did nothing except for provide sort of like an arbitrary, oh, well, this is the part where it's supposed to be hard, so here you go, have fun with this bullshit.
Well, and one of the things other people talk about is, like, let's talk about other things that are choices. Like, why do I have to play a dude in every damn high-budget game?
Sure.
Like, you know, I get, like, low-budget games, how, like, look, there's just one character, and it was easier to make him a dude than make it a robot. But, you know, there's a little bit of interesting discussion about that. Like, I don't play this game because I don't want to play a dude, and I shouldn't have to play a dude.
Yeah.
And I will give a shout-out to Alto, the snowboarding llama game, which has a zen mode where you can just play and like do jumps and do tricks, but you just never die.
You don't really die in the first place. You don't biff it. You can keep going on the course instead of having to stop and start over.
And you don't have challenges. You can just like hop, 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 kind of practice. The music is nice. It's soothing. Although my sister, I knew this was going to be a problem once I got her all, like, hooked up. Like, forever. Like, she's like, my Apple TV's kind of fucked. I don't know what's wrong. And I'm like, seriously, this game. You will love it. But one day, we set it up, we played it, and then she got it for her phone. And she's just been, like, playing it and playing it and playing it and playing it. And every now and again, she sends me a little screenshot of, like, the new character she got or... You know, the new, like, she's way past me because I only play it when I'm somewhere with an Apple TV, and I haven't been anywhere with an Apple TV in months now.
Yeah.
And so now it makes me happy when, like, you line somebody up with a game they really like.
Yeah.
So, Alto, Snowboarding Llama.
Yep. Official mobile game of the 2017 Metafilter podcast. I think there's like 3-4 episodes in a row. It's like, it's nice. It's a good little game.
Well, because people enjoyed it. And so it's worth being like, hey, it's good. And I was playing it really literally all summer.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't really played it in months.
One other blue post I'll mention is it was Caps Lock Day.
Oh, God. I missed this entirely.
Oh,
what day was it?
Bloke, man. Come on. This was October 22nd. It was Caps Lock Day. That's what day it was.
Fuck. How did I... I must have been gone or something.
Yeah, you know, I barely participated. I was pretty busy.
This was right between Wisconsin and New England Library conferences, and I was just blah.
Yeah.
It was like my one day at home, and I had to write a talk the whole day.
Anyway, thank you, Kenko, for doing your part in upholding tradition of posting about Caps Lock Day.
It's really always the best.
It is. It's just such a nice, stupid thing. Like, it's real stupid. It's the best kind of stupid. It's like Shaq, I think, is the spirit of Caps Lock Day, is part of why I liked Shaq.
Right.
Anyway.
Everybody's just playing grab ass. And
yeah.
I left a comment in the thread. Right after mandolin conspiracy, of course. Interesting.
It's starting to sound like a mandolin conspiracy. You want to talk about Ask Metafilter?
I was just going to let that dangle for another 30 seconds. Yeah, I do want to talk about Ask Metafilter. Yeah, I do. And, oddly, I was doing, I have a newsletter, right? Library newsletter. And I used to do it every week, and now I try and do it a couple times a month. And I was doing it yesterday, and I wanted an image that I remembered from a book, and it was a little obscure, and I couldn't find it, and so I was like Googling to try and see if I could find this image somewhere, somehow, etc. And I actually found the text of the image in an answer I gave to an Ask Metafilter question from 2005, and it just made me nostalgic for old Ask Metafilter. So I thought I would link to this post by Coney. If you had to choose a message tattooed on your body, what would it be? How is it significant? Like, total chat filter.
Completely.
But, like, kind of a fun thread with, like, a bunch of people you remember. And it had a link to the quote, which I still didn't find anywhere. But it allowed me to remember that I had used that quote on my homepage in 1998, maybe? And so I found an old version of it in a old folder on my web server. And it solved a problem for me. So thank you, 2005 Metafilter. That was pretty awesome.
Nice.
People, I've got something to say about a very bad thing called the NRA. National Rifle Association, enablers of mass murder all across the nation.
There's a question a few days ago that I'm looking back over the answers now as I go to post this and realizing that, like, there was some, like, sort of slightly chatty bullshit answers that no one flagged, which I think is perfect because it's totally a people being annoyed thread. It's a question from Rama Noprez.
How did I not see this?
I
feel like I've been on Metafilter this month, and clearly I was not.
I mean, there's a lot of Metafilter. I miss most.
But normally I read all of Ask Metafilter, yeah, start to finish. You know what I mean? And yeah.
There's some stuff going on. It happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, this question is calling a blog post a blog accepted usage? And the answer is no. No, it's totally not. But at
everyone
the same time, the answer is it's completely a common, totally attested usage.
People like banister, right? Technically, you slide down the balustrade, but you need to get over it. I had to get over it with good to go.
Yes.
Good to go means ready to fuck. I don't care what you say. But people use it to mean ready to go, like idiots. So here we are.
Yep. So anyway, it's a pet peeve of mine. It has been for, like, you know,
sure,
literally the entire history of blogs. But, like, it's a very
common
usage.
Well, it's like when someone say a blog post when they mean a blog comment.
Yeah.
I almost did it today in this very podcast.
Yeah.
Like, oh, someone had a post where, and then I was like, what? What has become of me?
Yep. I was answering a short little interview question for somebody working on a article about, like, moderation stuff.
Oh, did you get in touch with that person? I would
talk to
that person if you didn't. Good.
No, I already got back to them. They were on a real short deadline, so.
Oh, that's right. It was like noon today or something.
Yeah. I'll crank this out. But yeah, you know, and I was going to describe what happens on Metafilter, and I was like, how specific do I want to be about making the distinction between posts and comments in a short comment that's not about that, that it doesn't matter? And I think I still went ahead and, like, said both posts and comments in context. It's like, God damn it, I'm going to make the distinction. It's not, everything isn't just a damn post.
Right.
So this, right. this blog thing is the same thing. It's like, it's, I think the thing is people wanted to answer the question, is it an acceptable usage? So they could, like, I
sure.
would say, no, it's not. It's horrible. And everybody who does it should, like, you know, go in a trash can. But it
but
is.
But do people
it is,
do it?
Yeah,
yeah
it
they
is,
do.
It is absolutely an accepted usage. It's a very common attested usage and people do it. And people like me just have to be annoyed. Me and literally everyone else in this thread. Like, I think everybody yeah. who clicked through came in to be like, well, let me tell you something.
Right.
So, yes, there's a couple comments there that are more along the lines of, oh, and don't even get me started about unrelated thing that probably I should have deleted, but no one flagged it because I think everybody else was annoyed too.
Right, right. So sometimes we'll just, a little spleen bending is just what you need.
Yeah, we'll just look past that.
So back to the present day, I enjoyed basically Pinta Picasso. Basically likes to do things that are kind of repetitive to kind of calm herself down. And
oh, nice.
To be honest, so do I. I got up the other morning and was like, because I think I've told you this, but like I get up in the morning and I do like 45 minutes of something that isn't the internet.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it helps some perspective on my life that there is more to life than the internet, even though I really like the internet. But so sometimes I don't know what to do, right? Like I'm just like, nah, I don't want to do the fucking dishes. And so I remembered, thank you to this thread, that I have like a little dumb collect all the state park coins coin binder and a jar of quarters. So I spent like 20 minutes kind of happily looking at quarters and it was nice.
Yeah.
And it was calming. And so this question is basically like, I really like listening to podcasts but fiddling with something with my hands. Give me things I can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, detangle your necklaces, you know, iron your stuff, let her shit by hand, shell peanuts, nail art, frost your pettifors, learn card tricks. Like, it's just a great thread of a whole bunch of people who also have the same feels.
Yeah.
About this kind of stuff. Polish hardwood.
Yeah.
Give yourself a pedicure. Play free cell. Like, it made me just happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really enjoyed, I included a picture, my quarter sorting for 15, 20 minutes, and I put a picture on Facebook and, you know, had some little conversations about change.
I have a big pile of collected bottle caps at this point.
I forgot about your bottle cap collection.
And at some point I'm going to sit down and sort them. And partly, like, it's in the service of, like, you know, doing some sort of art project with it. Still haven't decided what. But to some extent, I look forward to just sitting around and sorting the bottle caps by color. Well, yeah, no, I've got like several different sort of ideas, and like, yeah, where to stick it afterwards is part of the question. But
I see. You want to make a modular unit that you can move around?
Maybe. I don't know. It might be an installation. It could be a countertop. It could be.
Well, see, now it's just a bunch of promise, which is a lot more fun.
Yep.
Than LARP Trek.
But also just sorting the damn things, I think, will be nice in that
yeah.
spirit.
Yeah. You gonna bubble sort?
I'll probably
radix sort.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, right? Do your things have one value for sorting, or do they have multiple values?
Well, that's
like,
the thing, yeah.
Just color?
I'm going to roughly sort by color and then probably refine from there. So in
uh-huh.
that sense, yeah, I'm sort of making several buckets and then analyzing from there. I'll probably
nice.
Do sort of a rainbow RGB, et cetera.
Nice.
That's how the rainbow goes. Red, bling, grew. I can't even talk. Fuck everything. I don't know.
Dude, you're doing fine.
There's a question.
The only problem is your concern over your problems.
I know.
You're no problems. Everything is fine.
It's my aesthetic. What can I say?
I know.
There is a post from Kobayashi from back in June about the idea of how having an idea light bulb moment would have been conveyed prior to light bulb being the thing.
We didn't mention this at the time. I love this question.
Yeah, well, it just got like three answers and like there wasn't a whole lot there, but then it came up again recently because of a post that had a old like making of animation video from like 1920 or something like that.
Is that the one, 1919?
Yeah,
the animated film,
yeah.
How they made cartoons before Disney.
Yeah, and that's got like someone points out a paraffin lamp. Lucidium came in to point out that, and that brought this post to my attention. And so, yeah, I like the whole thing.
Wait, man, I love that you can link to a part of a YouTube video.
Yeah,
I'm watching this happen right now. Oh my god, so cute! So cute! So cute! Oh, that's neat. Well, that's really interesting. Yeah. I have learned a thing. I enjoyed, I feel like there's probably like four or five different main kind of bucket types of Ask Metafilter, you know, and like one of them is sort of, I need to solve a problem that I can do, but sometimes there's just list generating types, which kind of Pint of Picasso sort of was, but like this one specifically from Winnie the Pooh is basically like, I'm working on a smartphone keyboard. I want to demo it. I want to have a ton of phrases people are always typing on their smartphones. I don't know why this is tough to find. What are like 10 phrases you type all the time on your phone?
Yeah.
And I love this thread specifically because, like, you can tell the different kinds of lives people are leading by what they type all the time. So, like, one of them is, like, let me in, please, which clearly is, like, you're outside an apartment building. Well, I think clearly. I mean, who knows, right? But, you know, you're outside an apartment building. Never happens to me. Or, like, leaving now. Or, yeah. Like, where are you?
Yeah.
Or, you know, one of them is just for fuck's sake, which makes me laugh. A lot of on my way. A lot of can you pick me up? But it's just, you know, kiss, kiss, XOXO. I typed mine in. Are you here? Just landed. So you can kind of tell from looking at what people's top 10 is a little bit about themselves
In
sort of interesting ways. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a nice little sort of slice of humanity from kind of an oblique angle there as a result.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't have thought about it one way or the other, but for whatever reason, I really enjoyed reading that thread.
I liked this question from Pigtail Orchestra that I went and answered. And I got here indirectly. A user wrote to the contact form to say, oh, hey, can you delete one of my answers in this thread? I got something wrong and it's sort of nonsense, so please get rid of it. I was like, oh, okay, go delete it and look at it. It's like, well, it's in patterns. And I scrolled up and it's like, oh, I need to tile my kitchen with a uneven proportion of tiles in a diagonal pattern. I was like, well, maybe I should read this closer.
What is that restraint? I'm not sure I totally... Let me read this.
They have an uneven proportion of different colored tiles that they're going to use to... this is Pigtail Orchestra, that they're tiling their kitchen, some stripes of tiling in their kitchen. And so they're looking for possible ways to lay out those tiles, like possibly in a pattern, possibly random. And I got excited, so I grabbed it and did some Photoshop and put together a tiling pattern, and I ended up sending them a Photoshop file. So they can.
I like that picture you made.
Yeah, I feel like it came up pretty well. I feel like being able to actually sort of see what it looks like-ish. Like, obviously, it's just sort of approximation, but, like, you know, you can sort of see the sort of color space in context instead of just saying, well, what if this was brown? What if this was gray?
Right, a line of this and... Yeah, neat.
But, yeah, patterns. Patterns are fun.
I like this interesting thread partly because I think my answer was really good, but quadrilaterals has been, kind of eating these Flintstone vitamins and enjoys the crunchy feel of them, but needs to kind of stop eating so many vitamins. So what's something else they could eat that has like fruit flavor, crumbly, textured Cruncho?
Yeah.
And, you know, then people kind of talk about what is like that. which, of course, one of the things that's funny is the last three words of the post are Smarties are disgusting.
Which I don't know, buddy. Why don't you go ahead? I've got a different website. It was a Smartie household.
But then people are like, try Smarties. And then Showbiz Liz is Jesus. Like, stop recommending Smarties. But it's just, you know, lots of people talking about different things that crunch up in your mouth in certain ways. And as someone who really gives a shit about mouthfeel when I decide what goes in there, I enjoyed reading the fact that other people also give a shit about mouthfeel.
It's such an interesting study in slightly different textures because I'm looking through this and like some of these things I'm like, yeah, yeah. And somebody's like, are you fucking kidding? Like,
right,
I don't even
understand the question.
Well, I mean, not even that. Just like I have such strong opinions about like Necco wafers. Necco wafers are awful. I'm sorry to everyone who loves them, which is apparently my mom and everyone else in the universe.
My mom.
Necco wafers
my mom
are just
love them.
They're just. I do not understand why you would eat them. Like you want to go back to the lapsed Catholicism?
I can understand
like, you know,
why
the
you
host
would have
at mass
them in
are
like
not
1908.
Very good, but, well, sure, but it's not 1908 anymore. Damn it.
Sure.
But like,
no. But to me, the reason I hate Necco wafers is because of my like my chalkboard aversion. You know what I mean? Like
the fact
like
that they
feel
taste
like
literally chalk.
They just feel like chalky in my mouth in a gross, weird way. It's not even so much the flavors; it's just. Yeah.
I want to throw a quick deep cut into vague memories of watching TV as a kid, and take this not eating too many vitamins and shout out the episode of Head of the Class where one of the students was getting into medicine and so was like trying to give medical advice that they weren't qualified to and convinced their teacher that maybe they had leprosy, I want to say, because his hair was falling out. And it turns out it was actually hypervitaminosis because he was eating Flintstones vitamins like candy. And so an actual doctor was like, oh, no, you're fine. Just stop eating so many goddamn vitamins. And then the student learned a very valuable lesson about not overprescribing your pre-med stuff. And we all moved on and laughed. Anyway, hypervitaminosis is a name. A word I learned as a kid because of television. So
I saw somebody get hypervitaminosis or hyperproteinosis or whatever on Doc Martin, like a kid who was trying to do lots of weightlifting stuff and taking a whole bunch of something, something, something in order to get stronger was like eating way too much of one thing. And Doc Martin, who's kind of a jerk, like yelled at the kid and was just, ugh.
I'm also wondering now if maybe I'm misremembering which show it was. Maybe it wasn't Head of the Class because a search for Head of the Class hypervitaminosis turns up a bunch of Head of the Class links with hypervitaminosis as the missing keyword. And I'm sorry, Google, if I search for Head of the Class hypervitaminosis, I'm going to say hypervitaminosis is not the one term that you can say,
Google does that.
It's like, yeah. Anyway, so someone get back to me on this. What the
hell
is
show? So hypervitaminosis, I'm used to it because like what? You ate like a polar bear liver or something.
Sure. I'm used to it because of an episode of a sitcom that I can't remember. So I don't know anything else about hypervitaminosis.
See, but now I'm trying to look it up using different keywords and it's not coming together.
Maybe hypervitaminosis.
So if you're listening.
Sitcom. This is the worst radio. I would know. I would like if someone else is doing this. I'd be like, "What are you doing? Cut it out!" But I'm just, yeah,
doing it and doing it and doing it. Yep.
Someone track that down, please. Let's move on.
Vitamin D disambiguation.
Is the D in vitamin D for disambiguation? It's vitamin disambiguation.
A lot of people don't know this.
This is a fact.
More from Ask Meta Filter that I liked.
Do it.
Slightly more kind of chunky than the past ones, but one of them was right after the Catalan referendum crackdown.
Right.
Clausoon asked, like, so what else happened in the past like this? Like where a group votes, but then there's a crackdown from like the bigger group and whatever. Not a lot of answers, but I was interested in this, and if other people have other examples, they should add it to this thread, because I would like to know sort of more about them. There is also a Metafilter post about what was going on, but that was from September. But so just Clausoon had just an interesting, like, I'm not sure what was going on there, but I'd like to learn more about it, and et cetera, et cetera. And did you have anything else from Ask Meta Filter? Because I have one.
I think I'm good. Do it. Finish it off.
Then the other one, which was one of those ones where I was like, I probably have some answers for that, or at least I have some loose ideas and I should go back and answer them, but I never did. You know, again, one of those like, one of these days I'll have time and I'll do the things I can't do because I don't have time. But this was by Karma Kane, and a question about like rural tech communities. So like theoretically, right? Our ability to work from anywhere, if we telecommute, and there's many more jobs that telecommute, should mean theoretically, that we could all get together in some place with fast internet and have a little kind of cooperative living environment where we bring in our income through remote work, but then live in some sort of beautiful place, blah, 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 and is sustained economically through clever use of computers. You know, a lot of people who look at kind of intentional communities, you would think there would be significantly more intentional communities that had a tech flavor. And so Karma Kane was like, talk to me about this. And surprisingly, there aren't a lot, basically. I mean, there are a lot of sort of intentional communities. You can look up those. You can look them up on databases. Heaven's Gate was sort of notably technophilic, although they had other problems.
Yeah.
But it was one of these ones, like 14 favorites. Yeah. But only 5 answers. And I would have thought, especially because I swear there's people doing that in Vermont, but they probably don't identify in that same way. But, you know, like a little web design kind of shop slash farm, you would think would be an easy thing. And turned out maybe is not. But interesting thread I sort of kept my eye on.
Neat.
Yeah. And then that was it for Ask Metafilter. But before you do your Metafilter Music Minute, I had one music moment, which was Jim just did a really neat song based on a Yeats poem with Billy B.
Yeah, I was going to mention this one.
I just thought was very beautiful, and I know they both spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I've talked about this before. Like, I like some of Jim's music, and then other of Jim's music I find unlistenable because our tastes don't overlap as much.
Sure, such as the way of music.
And so, yeah. So whenever he does something that both, like, he loves and I love, I'm always like, ooh, this is clearly very good, and other people might love it too. It's about bees.
Yeah, this is Keep My Love in Amber, and yeah, no, I really like it. It came together super nice.
Yeah, I thought it was nice, but I think that's it for me and mine. Except for, you know, a lot of stuff going on in MetaTalk, mostly good.
Yeah, well, I'll ease
Secret
on into
Quantar is open, which is important.
I'll follow through on your music stuff to keep it clustered, and then we can hit MetaTalk and wrap up. Another people working together is Limonaire. Just earlier this month posted a song called Summer Follows. It started out as an instrumental thing by Cicadaverse, and someone had asked in the original Cicadaverse post, you know, are you planning to add vocals? And they were like, no, it's not really... It doesn't work out so well for me with the vocals. And then Limonaire ended up getting involved, and now it's got vocals, and the whole thing sounds very nice. So it's another bit of collaboration there, which is always cool to see.
Awesome.
I also like, speaking of... wait, I was going to make a segue that had the wrong word in it. Speaking of literally nothing, I also liked Be a Light by Bluebird Wine. A nice Spartan guitar and vocals thing with a sort of slightly off-center feeling chordal movement that I really like. There's a bit of protest music from Flapjacks at Midnight, a song called Get Rid of the NRA, which you can guess what it's about based on that. There's in more random, like, this is something that I have no context for. There is a version of the theme from a television series called Starfleet/X-Bomber/ I Can't Read the Japanese Katakana. But this is by television name, and it's a cool, weird little, like, synthy chiptune-y thing. And then finally, I think this is super rad, getting out into pretty ambient feeling territory. Odin's Dream posted a recording called A Memory of Pittsburgh Bells, and it's worth just going and reading the post because it's about they're trying to recreate this chance encounter with some music that they just heard when they were walking along one day, and this is an attempt to sort of like capture the sound of that. And it's a cool recording, but it's also a cool story, and I would say go check out the
that's
post.
Neat.
But yeah, a bunch of good stuff. Like, it was a relatively quiet in terms of volume of posts, not in terms of volume of posted recordings. I'm not disambiguating it. There weren't that many music posts this month, but a bunch of good stuff in there. So, yay. There we go. Landed that.
And I do have to mention, I just read this Pittsburgh Bell thing. It's really interesting. There is literally one comment by Roger Ackroyd, which brings me to a very short Metafilter story, which is Roger Ackroyd posted in Ask Metafilter, wanted advice for a trip to Vermont. he was coming to Vermont while I was going to be gone. And I was like, as I often do, well, just stay at my place for your first night, because he was flying into Manchester and driving to Burlington. He's literally driving right by my house.
Sure.
And he said, great. And I gave him the information. And he, I guess, came by. And I came by after my trip. And there was a little pile of stickers and a thank you note on my kitchen table. And otherwise, I literally could not tell he had been in my home, which is high praise coming from me. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea. Maybe he didn't. You know, maybe he just stopped in and dropped off some stickers and was like, fuck this place. But Roger Aykroyd, I hope you had a really good time. We didn't wind up connecting because his trip took him to Maine. But thank you for taking such good care of my place. I'm sure the fact that my computer broke 2 days later was completely a coincidence. And but you wonder, you know? But it was just another great Metafilter story. Anybody vacationing in Vermont should look me up and see if I'm not home and you can stay here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Some nice stuff in MetaTalk. There was a big second round of Mastodon discussion after one that we had back in April, I think, when there was the first big Mastodon awakening.
Oh, right. Well, and this one was specifically the incentive was people did kind of Twitter without women for various points in time. And we're like, you know, maybe I just don't need this anymore. Well, there's Mastodon. Hey, let's learn about it.
Yep. So if you're curious about Mastodon, go read the thread. If you want to find out who's on Mastodon, who's on Metafilter, go look at the thread. A bunch of people were like, oh, hey, here's me. So that's cool. There was a neat thread in MetaTalk posted by Tedious, basically saying, hey, some things are going okay. Some things are getting better. So look at your Ask Metafilter history and show us the progress that's happened in the course of those Ask Metafilter posts.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that thread.
Yeah. And it's a great collection of updates and also, in some cases, sort of like serial explanations of a bunch of questions. You know, so people who, like, you know, went from being in grad school to where they are employed right now, or, hey, this is how my relationship dissolved and here's how things have improved since that. Here's how this job thing went. Here's how this creative project went. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Oh, hey, are we going to do Hippie Bear's idea, November flowers thing he suggested? October 13th?
I think maybe so. I should look at that
later today. But basically, you know, fun post for November.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Let's pull the nose up on this negativity train, which, of course, a nerd in the thread is like, but trains don't. But I like that idea, so hey.
Yeah, I definitely like the feel, so I think maybe we'll try and get out and push.
And speaking of date-specific stuff, Secret Quantsar open today?
Yes! Secret Quantsar is go. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm glad.
Pretty excited. Well,
it's a good thing everything. It's a great, people always enjoy it. Go do Secret Quantsar.
You want to talk about things I'm excited for? Motherfucking stickers.
Yeah, stickers. Hell yes. I'm excited I got those done and sort of got
nice
all
work.
The stuff ironed out, so I'm sort of back in touch with Topotico after us being sort of radio silence for a while because we just weren't doing any merch stuff, and so we'll see how those sell. I printed up a decent crop of them, and I figure it could be anywhere from we sell almost none of them to I need to order more, and we'll see. But it's nice to get going on that, and I think I'll try and I'm gonna try and get like a new shirt, even if it's something pretty basic, up this month so that we can have something new in the store for Christmas for people who are into that.
Oh, right. When does the holiday store go up? Soon, right? Before the next podcast, definitely.
Yeah, we should probably
holiday
have it up before November is out. So probably in the next couple of weeks we'll get that all shaped up.
Nice. And special shout out, of course, to Romy, who made a major post of major posts in MetaTalk.
Oh, yes.
Just as a lovely updated and thank yous and et cetera. It just, how cool.
Yep. This is a very, very Raumi post. It's pretty rad. Just a retrospective on a whole bunch of posting history. So that was pretty rad.
Yeah. I liked it. And the usual fighting and bickering.
Yeah. Well, there was one more on the difficult side thread, but still was an interesting and worthwhile one having. Just DBX posted sort of saying, hey, I kind of have feelings about the tenor of stuff and some of the behavior in the ongoing U.S. Yeah. politics mega threads, which is, yeah, I mean, that's, it's a,
I thought that was a good conversation, actually.
Conversation I felt, yeah, it went pretty well. I talked about some of the stuff that I have found, like, frustrating logistically to deal with, even though, by and large, I see the value in a lot of what's going on there.
Sure.
So, and it's something we'll just, we'll keep talking about.
Talked a little bit about apocalyptic fanfic.
Yeah.
As an example.
Yeah. And sort of different people's, like, where they're coming from in terms of, you know, how they are prioritizing different aspects of these things. And it's all, basically, everybody's trying to sort of get along under weird circumstances, but everybody has slightly different priorities. And I think that's part of where the difficulty comes with, is just like, there's a lot of that sort of melding together in one place on a daily and weekly basis. So it's tricky, but it's a good conversation. Also fanfare, there's stuff on fanfare. I haven't been spending much time over there myself, but I am glad it's there, 'cause I've seen other people doing it. A lot of people
I haven't watched a movie this week. What's the status of the World Series? Over?
I have no idea.
Thank God for the internet. I hear it's been a nail biter. That's all I know.
Yeah, I've seen people mentioning some pretty good games and such. So, but I do not know what's up. So someone else will have to write in about that. But anyway, yes, on fanfare, people are talking about The Good Place, which just started its second season a few weeks ago, and it's
what
great.
What is The Good Place? Is that the one with Ted Danson?
Yeah, it's Ted Danson and Kristen Bell. And Kristen Bell, like, the opening is she wakes up and he's like, hey, so you're dead and you're in The Good Place. And it just sort of goes from there. And it's very funny, very smartly written. It's a great show. People talking about that. People talking about Star Trek Discovery, which I'm only just now getting to, but like in the first couple episodes I've seen. People are talking about Stranger Things, which we had talked about a little bit earlier. And then there was a big post about the new Blade Runner 2049. A couple hundred comments in there. So
the World Series is wrapping up tonight.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's good 3-3.
We'll get this out of the way.
Houston, Los Angeles. Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, that's a corker.
Oh, and the you can talk about it on Fanfare. I mean, hey, I'm sorry if you get this up today or otherwise. I don't know.
Nah, whatever. No. I'm going to try and get it up this very morning. We'll see what happens.
Great.
Don't quote me. But anyway, that's everything I wanted to mention. This very morning. I mean, my morning. Obviously, for you, that's too late. But
my morning ended an hour ago.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I don't know. I think that feels like a podcast. I feel like we podcasted.
It feels podcasty to me.
All right. Well, let's stop podcasting. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next month and stuffing things.
Stuffing things.
All right. Stuffing things.
All right.